You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Before we go to Dr. Craig, good morning. I don't know if you listened to any of the first hour of the show, but we had Robert Miranda and a very special guest out of Washington, D.C. on talking about the lead water, lead pipe issues in the city of Milwaukee that you remember so well, and the battle and the fight that went on. And then yesterday, the President of the United States made an announcement in Milwaukee that by 2037, he mandates that they will rid lead pipes from the entire nation by 2037. Before we get to you, we've got Mike, who's been from Kenosha, who's been waiting on the line to add something. Mike, thank you for waiting. You say what, sir?
Sure. Thanks again. Good morning. I couldn't agree more with your comment right before the top of the hour, Earl, that this is exactly what the purpose of a strong republic, a strong government. This is the lead pipe issue is exactly the time and the place for the federal government to intervene because of the scale, because of the overwhelming impact that it has on millions and upon millions of people. The public risks is kind of unusual, and this is where my thought went, that so many of the public health risks, while they get a little bit of attention, as far as significant action and get it done, it just seems to wane. So here we have lead pipes that are causing cardiovascular illness in many adults all across the Rust Belt states, and increased blood pressure, decreased kidney function. And there are solutions. So I'm going to say this. Now we know that all of our bodies contain a lot of plastics, all of them.
Right.
All bottled water has a plastic content inside it, and yet this seems to be 1986, 1987 all over again, where, again, we identify a problem, but where's the action? The 1986 Safe Drinking Water Act clearly identified almost 4 years ago the significant risks to not only adults, but primarily children. And we have to protect our children, for crying out loud. I just don't understand how something like this can be 40 years later, still can be underreported, and still can be such a huge problem in our nation. It's something that we need to start dealing with.
Hey, Mike, hang on a second. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that? How is it possible that our nation, we have an EPA, we have other entities that are earmarked, they are there to protect the American people, and yet they don't seem to be able to live up to what they were created to do?
Yeah, if you take an issue like lead paint, it really has to do, and we're doing it now on other things where it'll come home to roost, but we're an old enough country that a lot of things done in the past now have consequences. Instead of pay it forward, really the powerful people that created, that put lead pipes in the industry that manufactured them and kept putting them in long after we knew lead was dangerous, right? They didn't pay it forward, they charged it forward. And this is the same principle at which polluters pollute something and then the public is responsible as to clean it up rather than it being part of actually their business expense, right?
Right.
In other words, the principle we need to have is that companies build in all the cost, the social cost of their business. Now, that would cause us to be act much more rapidly on the climate crisis that we're seeing on hurricanes, because basically all the fossil fuel, all the carbon we put in the atmosphere since the Industrial Revolution, the 19th century, is up there. Our country is 25% of it. And all those companies that have done it, continue to do it for over a century, and now are doing it, that we're going to have to deal with the consequences. You're seeing the consequences in Florida right now. So you can either try to, in law, find someone you can hold responsible, right? You can imagine the response of the corporate elite if we tried to track down where all the profits made from lead ended up. So you could track that, actually. But then you get to regulatory agencies. Look, they're hopelessly understaffed and given conflicting statutes because of the power of the same industries. Because our democracy is too weak, and the power of large corporations and billionaires is too strong. And so the EPA, you could have a very aggressive EPA that dealt with lead pipes years ago, but you'd need the politics, i.e. the public power, the grassroots power, to establish and then maintain such an EPA. Because look at We Energies, the big utility in Milwaukee, and you have other big investor-owned utilities in other parts of the state. The Public Service Commission was created because they sold us this bill of goods. We could have private utilities that they profit, but they'd be heavily regulated in the public interest. And over the years, they've taken over that agency, not because the people aren't well-intended, just the rules and the procedures and the what their even authority is all been chipped away at and limited. I think PSC commissioners could be bolder, but they're also in a box because they're in the same system structured by the utilities, not in the interest of the people of Wisconsin. And that's what lead pipes is a very visible symptom of, and kids continue to be exposed to lead and damaged permanently. And then we blame them. We blame people in poverty who may well have faced lead and other environmental degradations and other degradations in their own human environments that put them really behind the eight ball. It was not an even playing field, right? And it continues not to be.
You know, Dr. Craig, yesterday we played a cut this morning from Eric Hovde yesterday, who said the lead pipe is not a big issue. It's much ado about nothing. Here's a guy. Yeah, I mean, who's running to become a United States senator, and he brushes off what everybody knows, including the president of the United States, who's allocated $2.6 billion to address the issue nationally, and yet there's a guy who wants to be a United States senator who says much ado about nothing.
I mean, that's very revealing of his character. Voters should think about this, and this is also the de-evolution of the Republican Party. I mean, the Bushes, junior and senior, might not have taken the action we want on lead pipes, but they wouldn't have said that, right? It's like the MAGA position now is to just say anything, and in fact, it seems like being harsh and saying offensive things is somehow part of the brand. And for people who are not that way, but are still voting their partisan identities, they've been Republicans all their lives, need to really consider that you're electing someone who's going to, this is what we're seeing in Florida right now. Ron DeSantis banned the word climate in the state from all state statutes and websites, etc. Well, guess what? You can eliminate the word, but climate crisis can't be ignored by the state of Florida or the rest of us.
You know, Dr. Craig, I have to do this before we go to the phone lines. I was watching House Majority Leader Steve Scalise on yesterday. He claimed that the Federal Emergency Management Agency is unable to properly respond to hurricanes battering the East Coast because the agency spent its money on illegal immigrants, a claim that the agency has repeatedly denied week after week. Scalise made the comments yesterday during a visit to Arizona to promote former GOP President Donald Trump as early voting begins. You know, Dr. Craig, in the face of what the nation is faced with and these states, and we've fallen so far in our political fights that we have people ranking as high as the House Majority Leader and a man who's running for President of the United States telling outright lies. Everybody knows their lies, and they continue to do it out in the day of light, Dr. Craig, in the public, in the light of day, in the public, Dr. Craig. And yet there are people who agree with them. I don't know how we get beyond this.
I mean, it's disinformation that is literally going to injure and kill people.
Yes.
I mean, so it's stunning. It's very much, this is why Kamala Harris's line that Trump is about himself, not us, is reflective here. But even people you want to have respect for, you know, I've had sympathy for Steve Scalise when he was shot.
Yes.
Sorry, the congressional softball game. Fortunately, he was injured but not killed and recovered and is still in office. But he's been in the leadership of Congress, and they've had full control 4 years under Trump, actually well before that, part of the late Obama administration, and the last 2 years. They could fund FEMA better. I think FEMA is going to have to be funded a lot better, given what Steve Scalise and his ilk have refused to do about the climate crisis and are continuing to deny and continue to stand in the way of. But where is the responsibility to govern? And if there are issues he has with FEMA, that's a governing issue he should take up through legislation and through Congress. But this is just purely trying to help Trump in an election. And the scary thing, Earl, is it's scary to lie this way. It's scary. It may help them and it may work.
Yes. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is in the seat. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, we're talking about, you know, continuing the conversation. This is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is always in the seat on Wednesdays, but we're kind of continuing a conversation that we had the first hour talking about, you know, lead pipe issues and the fact that the President of the United States has allocated $2.6 billion to address these issues all over the nation. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, you had a caller yesterday from one of the civic media shows. I'm sure we can guess who it is. said that this whole idea of restoring the or getting rid of the lead pipes was a bad idea. So I think that's very interesting and very telling about that other side of the aisle. Also, if Republicans are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it. I hope everybody keeps on remembering that. Every time they accuse the Democrats of something, remember, they're doing it themselves. I think, Dr. Craig, we need to actually take back the mantle of the pro-life party, because we care about infrastructure and no lead pipes. We care about the environment. We don't believe in capital punishment. We don't believe, we're anti-war. We believe in healthcare. We believe in housing. And those things are all pro-life. And I really think that that's something, I am a pro-life person. I am a person in terms of the termination of pregnancies that is also pro-life, but I am pro a woman's right to choose, not government's right to choose. But I think we really need to take back that word either after the election, because honestly, freedom and pro-life is really what we are. And we need to take back the flag. We need to take back Christ, because these people don't have the ownership over those things.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
I think that's true. I think it's going to be hard. We need some other way of describing pro-life, because they've repeated that so, so much.
Right.
Now it's become a negative for them. It's going to be hard. Hopefully we can really decisively reestablish a woman's right to choose their full reproductive health autonomy. Then maybe that word, we can regenerate that word, but there are probably others. I think it's pro-life, but it's pro-quality of life, and quality of life includes opportunity. And I think Harris has added a lot of features like that, like really talking about how you can't survive as a young parent in this society without adequate, affordable childcare, right? And you can't get childcare workers if you don't pay them adequate wages. So putting all of those together. I think Tom's right. And I think Republicans show their true colors when they won't even admit a major health crisis that's affecting lots of poor kids of color, just because they want to get bigger tax cuts, apparently.
All right, let's go to Corinna from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Corinna. You say what?
Well, I just two things. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, for Republicans who is listening to a program, you know, when $2.6 billion are released for something, it's not nothing, usually. So just open your eyes and just think logically about it. And another fact is that it seems to be that there's a lot of Republicans who's campaigning right now all over the country. And honestly, like Eric Hovde, who in my view is don't have very good chances to win, honestly. But what is the idea? And it's, I don't want to spin any conspiracy, but it does look like this. And the Dr. Greg just said previously that it's all happening to help Trump's campaign, that there is more people from this party saying a same thing. And this is the whole idea about the campaign. They know they're not going to win, but they have to do it so they can support what insanity of Trump. You see how, and that's how I see it, because otherwise it just doesn't make sense.
Hey, Corinne, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, she spoke almost in matter-of-fact terms that the Republicans are going to lose. Are you as assured of that?
No, I think we need to keep making phone calls and knocking doors and volunteering with groups like the group I lead, Secession Wisconsin, and with, you know, obviously with candidates and the party. But the Cook Political Report, which is the great prognosticators on and trackers of congressional and Senate races, just moved the Baldwin-Hovde race from a lean Democrat to a toss-up. which is their complete middle position. So there is enough polling showing Hovde within the margin of error that the Cook Political Report did that. And remember, the polling's been very inaccurate. It's undercounted Republican voting the last two cycles in Wisconsin, in 2016 and in 2020. And so I think we have to assume this is a tie. It's sort of like the Packers assuming they go win a game when they're in it, when they're maybe up a field goal, maybe not, late in the fourth quarter.
You know, Dr. Craig, I wanted to ask you, and we're going to take a short hiatus, but I clearly wanted to ask you, so you can respond on the other side. Inside of 30 days, you guys are ramping up. You've been at this nonstop. How do you keep the fire burning? How do you, you know, step on the gas even more and ask to get more out of those who have really been at this for a long time? It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig is in the chair. You can join us at 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Craig is in the seat. So Dr. Craig, you know, you've done this for decades now. And where many of us get weary, here you are heading an organization with all the different tentacles, all the different people moving around, keeping those people motivated to continue to knock on doors, to continue to make calls. Dr. Craig, does it get any easier as you get closer to the election? Or what is the process that you use to keep the energy level up?
Well, I think it's partly having a depth of commitment, right? You have to believe that fighting injustice, fighting for an equitable and just society is something we're called on to do. And so this is part of living the good life. Yes, it's easier to watch streaming TV, but there's other times to do that. I'm not claiming that I don't do that. It's just I also make sure I'm doing this.
Right.
I think one of the biggest toxins to democracy is cynicism. It requires a certain sense of optimism. No, what I do not mean by that is kind of naive optimism, where, oh, it'll turn out, even if Trump wins, he won't really. That's not what I mean. What I mean is optimism that to quote Dr. King, who was quoting a Unitarian minister from before the Civil War, Theodore Parker, the arc of justice bends towards history. But what he meant by that, not naturally, if we make it bend towards justice. I mean, the arc of history bends towards justice. And so that we can win if we do this. Plus, you have a lot of great conversations. I mean, I was on our phone bank last night, our Deep Canvas phone bank, and we were calling into the West Dallas area. There's a big state assembly race there. Angelito Tenorio is an alderman and is running for state assembly. He would be a great member of the state assembly, young person of color, and a veteran. There are a lot of people who have already gotten too many calls or hanging up on you right away or angry that you called them, right? But I had some great conversations. So it's sort of like sifting for gold, you know, the old gold rush where they would just sit on the side of the river and they would sift through hundreds and hundreds of pounds of stones to find that one grain of gold. That's what we're doing. But that grain of gold is often a voter that you can make a difference with. And so I had 6-7 meaningful conversations last night between all the voicemails and all the people who just weren't answering, and then some people who were unfriendly. But it was worth sorting through all of those stones, Earl, to get to the little nuggets of gold.
Well, you've got an army of people who are doing this. And Dr. Craig, for those of us who are so apprehensive and so worried and nervous about this, and as you stated, we have every right to be those things. And let's say the worst happens, because there's always a possibility that the worst can happen, right? How do you pick up the pieces? I mean, this is a long slog, you know, and this fight against conservatives and MAGA Republicans and Donald Trump. And so it's not just something that's going to end after this election, because you're even talking about dealing with these local elections, Dr. Craig. I mean, most of us are looking at the presidency. You're looking at state representative races and all these other things.
To adequately fund our public schools, we need a new state assembly. We have fairer maps.
That's right. Shot
that control of the state assembly. Plus, we need some new blood in there and some more diverse blood. A lot of kinds of diversity, by the way. Racial diversity being an important one of them, but a lot of other important diversity that's not there as well. And so, look, and I've been part of this conversation about democracy being at risk, right? And that's true in that what Donald Trump and with Project 2025 and the current agenda of the far right and of the corporate and billionaires behind them have, that they want to try to do that. We're not a country like a fledgling new democracy in a post-colonial world who has very little other institutions and balance. It will be hard if he wins for him to achieve this agenda, and it will require a lot of action, a lot of civil disobedience. But the point is that there are a lot of independent institutions in society where he will not all of a sudden have a Putin-like dictatorship, right? That takes a long time. So it's a terrible setback. It's like if the Packers don't make the playoffs and they make horrible draft choices, but you can dig your way out of it. And maybe if we had to build we don't want to go there. There'll be a lot of pain and suffering, and just how much worse the climate crisis will get is a reason itself not to wish for this. But if it does happen, we're going to have to not only win democracy back, but to win a better democracy back, and maybe cleaning away some of the broken structures of current democracy would have some upsides. But at this point, the best path forward, the best future is to win, and then to try to make Kamala Harris's presidency as successful as possible and as bold and effective as possible in affecting the life and the quality of life, going back to the conversation with Tom in the last segment.
You know, Dr. Craig, the reason why your voice is so important, so critically important to the airwaves, and every time I've had an opportunity to be on the air. I've had you there because you bring stability. You bring thoughtfulness. You don't ever panic. You always put it in the proper perspective. You know, I'm here thinking that I'm going to take my last breath if Donald Trump is elected president of the United States. And I don't know how I'm going to live. And I know I'm not alone, but you put it in the right perspective.
The arc of history is long,
yeah.
Whether it's justice or not. It fundamentally changes the situation in that people would be in a position to do a lot of damage and a lot of evil. We'll see where this leads. If they could actually achieve it and pull it off, trying to deport $14 million people is going to be one of the great human rights tragedies of the modern era. Okay. And that could lead to worse. So it's unbelievable. And you know, they've convinced a majority of the public that mass deportation is necessary. Completely untrue, actually. You can fix the immigration system without mass deportation, but you need to, this is where Trump revealed the truth of the matter, you need to prevent the other party from simply seeing it as something they can politically benefit by making worse and worse and worse, because Trump blocking the one border security bill was not the first instance of Republicans seeing it as a political football they don't want to give up.
All right, let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
I say great show as usual, and thank you so much to both of you because you really are educating the public. We've had so many years of propaganda. When Walker got in, nonstop, lie, 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 lie. And this is wonderful that people actually know that they count and they actually are called to action to get out and vote. And if we do lose, we bring out the crying towels like we do for the Packers and build back again. But we have each other. We all have each other. And that's really important. And we have to go together to protect our children. They've attacked the education system. They've attacked the medical system. They've attacked everything that's good about our country. And we don't need to let it go because we have power and it's in our vote. And I want to bring up one thing. If you get hung up by older people, they get a lot of telemarketers and keep them on the line. So please, when people call up, don't be offended. I used to answer all surveys and things like that till I had a Walker survey years ago fighting with me on the telephone whom I was going to vote for. So I don't answer any surveys, neither does my mother, who's 90 years old. I'm going to be 70. So, guys, keep up the great work. Don't get disillusioned. If you got an older person, they get telemarketer calls and some pretty nasty calls from the people of the RF.
Hey, Gene.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Dr. Craig is a seasoned vet. I don't think he gives up that easy. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Yeah, two quick points. First, we have to ask ourselves, and one plays into the other, we have to ask ourselves why we have someone like Steve Scalise, who after he gets shot at a softball game by a Trump hater, would still want to do something like he's doing in Arizona, lying through his teeth, knowing he's lying through his teeth, backing this guy. What is it that we have in our government that's so broken that we have these people that do this? Secondly, Dr. Craig, I know you read some of Project 2025. If you think that this is just going to, we're just going to get out the crying towels and we'll fight our way back and that Donald Trump will leave office in 4 years, you know what he's going to do within the first 2 years? I mean, come on. Everybody needs to wake up. No, it ain't going to happen that way. He gets in office. He changes the whole political scene in D.C. He changes the whole structure of political government. And he has all of a sudden now the National Guard out just picking people up. Remember what was going on with ICE when he was in office and all the laws that were being broken and just ripping people out of their houses. And in Oregon, where guys in black jackets and black masks were jumping out of vans, grabbing people, snatching them right off the street. So don't be disillusioned and think that we're just all going to get our crying towels out and 4 years later it's going to change. It's not. And we need to figure out what's wrong in our government that a guy like Steve Scalise, who almost lost his life to a shooter, would go right back into government, and it's so important for him to stay there that he would lie to people through his teeth using something as horrible as what's going on in Florida and down in the Southeast right now.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, we'll give you a chance to respond to Brendan on the other side. 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. I mean, he's the one and only Dr. Craig is in the studio. Dr. Craig, I forgot, Brendan, as well as Tom, who keeps chiming in, and they're challenging you on your thought that even if Trump wins, you know, the world doesn't come to an end. If we listen to them, the world comes to an end. And if Trump wins, your response to that, does the world end if Trump wins? The world as we know it.
I'm saying the fight doesn't end. And it's probably a bit much to say the world necessarily ends, though there's a great risk with climate crisis, that if he does what he wants to in energy policy, that frankly the planet will become mostly uninhabitable by humans if we get to 4, 5, or 6 degrees increase Celsius. And I hope both of them, I think Tom has mentioned he's making phone calls, are making lots of phone calls and knocking lots of doors, because saying it in social media on the radio, that's the end of the world as we know it, if it loses this election, doesn't do a thing to make us not lose the election. What I'm saying is, that by far the best case scenario is to win this election, and it's tremendously damaging and risky if we lose this election. But a fight will have to continue afterwards, and I think part of the test is going to be who's up for that. Because what happens when authoritarianism advances is a lot of people go and hide back in the weeds. They stop calling in to saying things on social media. They stop calling in to radio stations. They conform in order to protect themselves. A smaller group of people are going to have to rebuild democracy and run a Gandhi and MLK-like civil disobedience movement. In addition, there are a lot of independent power structures still. We still have a federated system with 50 states. We have a very large media structure, for example, university structure. It will not be like he will be suddenly have Putin-like power. So there's going to be a process where he's going to try his grab as much as he can, do tremendous and horrible damage, injure and kill many tens of thousands of people, damage our country and the world incredibly. But nonetheless, the fight will have to continue. So I guess we can agree, disagree on whether the world ends with this election, but the fight cannot end with this election. But the best way to win, by far, the best scenario is to win this election. It's critically important we do so. But this is close. We may not. So I want people to be, I'm concerned that attitude, Earl, as well-intended as it is going to cause us not to respond like we need to respond if we, in the case we lose. And I don't believe saying it that way does anything to make it more likely for us to win.
All right, let's bring up CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and you too, Dr. Craig. You know, we hear that he's going to be a threat to democracy, but he's not the one that fights to keep people off the ballot. He's not the one that fights to keep people on the ballot. And I would like to raise the question. There is an amendment about you have to be a legal citizen to vote. And my dad always says it's hard to argue with Santa Claus. And that's what the Democrat Party is, Santa Claus.
All right, CJ, Dr. Craig, for what it's worth.
You already have to be a citizen to vote. So it's on the ballot to try to, I guess,
confuse people
like CJ, or as engaged as CJ, to vote and get Trump into office. And maybe they claim to prevent any Wisconsin city from allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections, which some places do, and which, given that they pay taxes, as it seems like a reasonable local Democratic decision that they want to try to foreclose with this language. But as far as CJ's whataboutism here, right, both parties try to manipulate the ballot to their own advantage, okay? And I don't love either side doing it. Try to add candidates, remove them so they're more likely to win. The man is the first president in American history since John Adams was the first to lose an election to not allow the peaceful transfer of power, and he's still denying he lost. And to extend it, risking the safety of all these wonderful poll workers that volunteer to make democracy work. So there's no comparison.
Dr. Craig, thank you as always. We will touch base again real soon. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bach. Madnair on air again. Greg, thank you for that information you gave us earlier in the show. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.